Welcome, Chiefs fans, to another edition of the Arrowhead Fanatic podcast. I'm Jason Thomas, the host of this show and blogger at arrowheadfanatic.com. And you guys can always get a hold of me at JTTheFan1 on Twitter if you have any comments or suggestions for the show. But today is kind of a special edition of the podcast. I just want to take a look back over the last quarter of the season, the last four games. Highlight a few things that jumped out to me, and then take a look at some of the individual records that I highlighted earlier on arrowheadfanatic.com and see how they're coming along. The Chiefs finished the second quarter of the season 3-1, beating the Jaguars, Broncos, and Bengals, but losing to the Patriots. So that gives the Patriots the tiebreak advantage over the Chiefs if they end up with the same record. Currently, the Patriots are second in the AFC, right behind the Chiefs at 6-2. So it's important for the Chiefs to keep churning out wins if they want home field advantage in the playoffs. Now, the combined record of the teams they played in the second quarter of the season was 17-15. And that makes the second quarter the most difficult quarter that they're likely to have this season. I added up the wins and losses of the teams they played in the first quarter and that they will in the third and fourth quarter. And none of those quarters, the teams all had more losses than wins. This third quarter coming up, the teams have 13 wins, 17 losses, and one tie. And that includes the 8-0 Rams. So if you take the Rams out of that equation, out of the next three teams the Chiefs play, those teams only have a combined 5 wins. So it's important for the Chiefs to keep churning out these wins and victories and to not have a down game against a bad team. Of course, Patrick Mahomes has been the brightest of the bright spots for the Chiefs. He's a phenomenal player, and he's legitimately a front runner for the MVP this year. And after the first 8 games of the season, he's on pace for over 5,000 yards and 52 touchdowns. But here's the but. In the first quarter of the season, he had the 14 touchdowns and 0 interceptions. And in the second half of the season, he came back down to earth a little bit, 12 touchdowns and 6 interceptions, which are still absolutely great numbers. But it's only a 2-1 touchdown interception ratio, which isn't bad, but I believe that's an area he can improve on. Because looking back, only 2 to 3 of those interceptions were really him being fooled. And the other 3 or so were just kind of poor decisions by him. And I'd like to see him clean that up a little bit, because at least at this point right now, if the Chiefs were going to win a Super Bowl, they would need him to play just about as perfect of a game as he could play to really give them a good shot of winning a Super Bowl. Now, the Chiefs did average 36.3 points per game over these last 4 games, which is kind of funny, because over the first 4 games, they averaged 36.3 points per game. So they have been very consistent with their scoring. And of course, then after 8 games, they're still averaging 36.3 points per game, which is a phenomenal pace and would put them right up there in the top, 3 offenses in history. The Chiefs offense is still performing really well in the red zone over the second quarter of the season. Not quite as well as the first quarter of the season when they were 14 of 17 in the red zone for a touchdown percentage of 82.4. Over the second quarter of the season, they were 12 for 20 with a red zone percentage of 60%, which is still very good. And that gives them an 8-game total of 70.3% touchdown percentage, which is currently 5th in the NFL, which is kind of ridiculous, because a lot of years that would be first or second easily, but teams are just scoring at a really high pace this season. I think, you know, outside of Patrick Mahomes, the coolest thing about this offense to me is that the Chiefs are on pace to have four guys break 1,000 yards from scrimmage this season, which is just awesome. Last year, the Chiefs had three in Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, and Kareem Hunt, and that seemed like a big accomplishment. But so far this year, Kareem Hunt is on pace for over 1,700 scrimmage yards. Tyreek Hill is on pace for over 1,400. Kelsey's on pace for almost 1,300. And Sammy Watkins is on pace for just over 1,000 scrimmage yards. And he's helped out by the fact that he's on pace for about 100 rushing yards too, because he has got a few carries and he's done well with those. But I really want the Chiefs to get that. So I'm hoping that the last week of the season, the starters have to play at least a little bit to secure home field advantage and to make sure that the Chiefs reach some of these really, really cool stats. I wrote a post after the first quarter of the season talking about some of, you know, the good surprises from the Chiefs and some of the bad surprises so far. And one of my biggest bad surprises at that point was the fact that Kareem Hunt was only averaging 58 scrimmage yards a game through the first four games. And I had really thought he was going to be a bigger part of this offense. And up to that point, the Chiefs hadn't really needed him. And then comes the second quarter of the season. And now Hunt, through those four games, has averaged 157 yards from scrimmage. And when the Chiefs can get him involved and get him rolling, it just makes it so much harder on defenses. They can't just key up on stopping the pass anymore. They have to worry about Kareem Hunt running the football and sometimes just flat out embarrassing him when he does it. Nobody wants to be embarrassed, and Kareem Hunt is embarrassing people right now, and it's fun to watch. I think personally, my biggest takeaway from this second quarter of the season was just the fact that the Chiefs had so many guys go out injured. I think I counted eight guys that missed considerable time over the last four games, and that's not including Eric Berry, who didn't play at all. But the Chiefs' backups were able to come in and play, and the effect on the offense and defense was minimal. I mean, there were definitely some plays that were affected because these guys, you know, were backups and they were playing, but it wasn't that noticeable. And it is amazing that Brett Veach can find these guys that are cut by other teams, and they can come in and be coached up by this coaching staff and go out there and look like they belong in the NFL. When for years, if you guys have been Chiefs fans for a long time, you'll understand this. But they went through this period of time from about 07 to 2012, where we couldn't find 53 guys that belonged in the NFL. We were playing guys like Andy Studebaker as a starter when, you know, honestly, he probably should have been, you know, a fringe roster player. You know, we just couldn't find guys that belonged in the NFL. And maybe part of that was the coaching, that we just couldn't get them coached up. But either way, it's really a good feeling to know that our depth on this team is at a really high caliber. Quickly, I'm going to run through the names of all the guys that missed time. Armoni Watts, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, Mitch Morse, Justin Houston, Eric Murray, D'Anthony Thomas, Terrence Smith, Jordan Devey, and of course, Eric Berry. That's a lot of guys. And then, you know, Jordan Lucas stepped up. Andrew Wiggins stepped up. Austin Ryder stepped up. Jordan Devey stepped up until he was injured. Tre'Mont Smith came in and took over the kick returning job, and he looks dynamic. And then the area where I'm really excited about, Dorian O'Daniel got more snaps and got to play. It looks like Ben Neiman might get a few more snaps and get to play as Anthony Hitchens deals with some bruised ribs. And of course, Breland Speaks played, and even though Speaks didn't impress me, he did show that he's a high-energy player, and he showed some improvement. I still like Tanner Passanio a lot better, but, you know, the Chiefs are going to give Speaks his shot. So if you couldn't tell so far, I've been basically sticking to the offense. Now I'm going to get to the defense a little bit. And they didn't play great in the second quarter of the season, but they played much better than they did in the first quarter. And the first stat is they're on pace for 48 sacks this season, which is right up there with the best seasons they've had under Bob Sutton as their defensive coordinator. And of course, they're being led by Dee Ford, who has 8 sacks in the season, so he's on pace for 16. And then behind him, Alan Bailey and Chris Jones both have 4 sacks, so they're on pace for 8. And then the rest is basically a team effort so far. Justin Houston missed basically the last 4 games, and I'm not certain how long he's going to be out, but he's only going to help that pass rush when he comes back. Over the first 4 games of the season, the Chiefs only created 3 turnovers. But over these last 4 games, they've created 9. So they're definitely getting the turnovers. They're getting the ball back to the offense. And it just creates some energy with the defense. And with that, they moved from 25th in points allowed in the first quarter of the season up to 21st in points allowed after the first 8 games. They're giving up an average of 25.6 points per game, which sounds worse than it is. I really believe that the Chiefs are probably going to end up somewhere between 12th and 15th in points allowed in the season. So the defense isn't going to be as bad as we would think. I thought before the season started that it was going to be better than that, but it took them a while to get things going. In the first 8 games, they faced better offenses than they're going to face in this next 8 games. So part of the reason I believe they're going to keep improving is that the teams they're facing are going to be worse. And then, you know, the young guys are going to continue working their way in. Some of the veterans are going to come back from their injuries. And hopefully it will make kind of a perfect storm where the Chiefs are playing their best defense late in the season. With the improved play on defense, the Chiefs are no longer on pace to give up the most yards in NFL history in a season, which is awesome because nobody wants to break a crappy record like that. And it's held by the 2012 Saints. They gave up 7,042 yards that season. And now the Chiefs are on pace to give up 6,918, which would still be one of the worst defenses in history as far as yards allowed. But as, you know, all us fans know, yards allowed doesn't mean anything. It's points allowed that matter, especially when the Chiefs are so efficient at scoring. And if, you know, the teams going up against them aren't, that yardage means nothing. It's just burning time off the clock. Another area that this Chiefs defense improved greatly on was in the red zone. During the first 4 games, they allowed opponents to score 83.3% of the time in the red zone. Their opponents got touchdowns 83.3% of the time, which is just horrendous. But that number has now dropped to 64.3 midway through the season. So the Chiefs really improved there. And hopefully that's a number that will, you know, keep improving as the season goes on. Because, you know, the more you can give up field goals and not touchdowns, the better off this defense is. The one area on this defense that still looks pretty gruesome is the run defense. It did improve from the first four games, but not as much as it needs to. In the first four games, they gave up 5.7 yards per rush, and that is down to 5.4 yards per rush now. But that's still a huge amount of yardage. I don't think completely shutting down the run is as important as most people think, but I think you've got to be able to do it. You know, you at least need to be able to clamp down when you need to. And that's something that the Chiefs haven't shown that they can do. And it'll be important in that Rams game coming up. Can we stop Todd Gurley? Can we keep him from ruining the game? That's going to be important if we ever play the Saints down the road with those two running backs they've got. Because when I look at how a team could beat the Chiefs, a team that can run the ball similar to how the Broncos ran against us, but to do it more effectively, could really be dangerous for the Chiefs. And you look at how the Saints ran the ball so much against Minnesota Sunday night. Breeze only had 120 yards passing, but the Saints scored 30 points. And to me, that's kind of the only way you can hope to beat this Chiefs team, is just not give Patrick Mahomes the ball. And so I would like to see this defense improve in that area, which would really give the Chiefs a better shot against those type of teams. So before the season started, I looked at some of the Chiefs' records, and I was just trying to find some basic records that I thought could be broken this season. You know, not anything that was too tricky, but just straight, plain records that this, you know, Chiefs offense could break this year. And I ranked them, and I'm going to kind of go over now if it still looks like these records are going to be broken. And the first one I had was the 30 touchdown passes by Lynn Dawson. And of course, you know, Patrick Mahomes already has 26. Unless he goes out there in this next game and his body gets destroyed, he's breaking that record. I'm probably in the next couple of weeks, which is just awesome. The next record I had on there was Trent Green's 4,591 passing yards. And that looks like it's in serious danger, because at the moment, Mahomes is on pace for a little bit over 5,000 yards. So his pace would really have to slow down over the second half of the season for him not to get really, really close to that and break it. The next record I had listed is probably less likely to be broken now, but it's Tyreek Hill with punt return TDs. He's got one on the season, which was the very first punt return of the season. And really, teams aren't punting to him that much. They aren't giving him much of a chance to return punts anymore. But he only needs one more to tie the Chiefs' single-season record, and he only needs two more to break it. And the punt return is like one of the most electrifying plays in all of sports, and I'd really like to see him break that record. After that, I have the Chiefs' all-time of receiving yards, which is Derek Alexander with 1,391. Tyreek Hill is currently on pace to break that, but just barely. He's on pace for 1,410 receiving yards. So if he misses any time going forward, or if Watkins becomes a little bit bigger part of this offense, the odds of him breaking this record are trending downward a little bit, just because the Chiefs offense is starting to look so balanced. After that, I had the Chiefs completions record, which was Trent Green, who had 369. Mahomes is currently on pace for 374. So that's another record where Mahomes is just on pace to break this record. And, you know, he's going to reset the Chiefs record books. I don't think anybody has any doubt whether it's this year or going forward. But that's just another record that he could get. The next record I listed is starting to look kind of like I was stupid. And that was Tony Gonzalez and his 102 receptions in a single season. And right now, Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill both lead the team with 44. So they're just both on pace for 88 receptions. So that's 14 short of the record. And I just don't see really where they can make up the ground on that record. You know, the Chiefs probably aren't going to have to pass just a ton in this second half of the season. I'm sure they will, but they're not going to be forced to throw as much as they were in this first half of the season. And, you know, the completions are going to be spread around among multiple players. The last record I had down was Dwayne Bowe and his 15 receiving TDs. Now, Tyreek Hill currently has 7, so he's got a shot. The issue with Hill is that he got 6 of those in 2 games. It might have actually been 5 of them in 2 games. But either way, he's got his touchdowns in chunks. And, you know, the Chiefs have weapons all over. It's the same deal as all these other receiving records. There's just so many guys who can make plays that the odds of him breaking that record are probably kind of slim now, even though, you know, all of these records, the guys are going to be, you know, top 3 or 4 in Chiefs history. And that's pretty amazing for the first year of Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid together. And it's only going to get better, guys. I mean, yeah, teams might think they figure out Patrick Mahomes, and they might slow down this Chiefs offense for a few games. But the more that happens, the more Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes figure out the answers. And then, you know, before long, nobody's going to have a shot at stopping us. That's just how I feel. That's just what I believe the truth is. And I believe if you bleed red and gold like I do, and you're a little bit crazy, and you're a Chiefs fanatic, you're believing the same dang thing too. All right, guys, that's all I got. Go Chiefs.